Hi, Alfonso.
Hello.
Hi, my guest today is Alfonso Esparza. He's the Senior Currency Strategist with Elanda. Welcome, Alfonso, and thank you so much for joining me.
Hi, Nancy. Thanks for having me here.
Sure. Since the last time we spoke, which was a couple of months ago, Japan has certainly changed their monetary policy, and that's having some wide-ranging effects, I think, on markets worldwide. What is your take on what the Japanese government is doing?
It's actually one of the boldest moves right now in the currency world. It all started back when now Prime Minister Abe was the running candidate. So he basically pointed to a 2% inflation target, which for a country like Japan, who it's in a deflationary state, that is very bold. And what's more, he said that they were going to meet that target in 2 years. And that was basically the only requirement for the new head of the Bank of Japan. And Kuroda signed up for that target, and now his first sort of a big announcement was to announce that they were going to be doubling the bond purchases to double the monetary base in Japan. So a lot of cash is sort of going into the system just to try to get that inflation target in place.
And then the yen is at pretty low levels these days. So what kind of trades are people making today? Are they buying yen? Are they selling yen?
So the main strategy that the market has followed is sort of selling yen. So that comes from the yen has depreciated around 20% versus the dollar, and that's great for Japan as an economy because they're exporters. So they need a weak currency. So right now they're doing basically everything they can to maintain those levels and even drive them even further down. On the flip side, because the stock market is full of exporting companies, they're actually gaining. So the Japanese stock market is actually around 70% up this year. So it's been sort of a double effect. So one, the weak currency helps the economy, but also helps, so because it helps the exporting companies, which helps the stock index.
Yeah, the stock index has really done phenomenally well, considering that for about the past 20 years, the market did nothing.
Yes, and that's the power of Shinzo Abe. So he even now has almost his whole brand of economics, Abenomics. And what he's done is very boldly pushed the Japanese economy, sort of jolted out of stagnation. The question mark is, would it be a short-term recovery, or does it really have... Does Abe have enough push to make it a sustained recovery?
Well, and I guess you can say the same thing in the U.S. with Bernanke buying bonds, $85 million or $85 billion worth of bonds every month. And, you know, what he's sort of roiled our markets this week with saying that they were going to continue the bond purchases and then backing down a little and actually saying we were going to start tapering off. So many people are saying that if that does happen and the Fed tapers off, we're sort of getting a look this week of what can happen to the market with the pullback. And so I guess the same thing could happen in Japan as is happening here.
Definitely. And the U.S. is one of the central banks, the Fed, that it's leading the charge. It's gotten accolades from sort of the business world. I remember Warren Buffett singled out Bernanke as sort of the savior of the economy, that all the progress that's been done in the past couple of years, it's all down to him. So there's a lot of faith from the business community in Bernanke. He is sort of he's giving hints. He hasn't been sort of a... So we see the contrast from the Bank of Japan's very bold statements now, the ECB with their bold statements last year that they were going to defend the euro. And Bernanke is still sort of a very moderate, trying to sort of gauge the market by sort of dropping those little hints, saying like, yes, the recovery is here, but we're waiting to see if it's a sustained recovery. So yes, we want to slow down QE, but we'll do it once employment sort of it's at a level that we feel is safe. So it's sort of like hedging their bets, but it's been the best strategy for the Fed.
Yeah, it looks like he's sort of sending out feelers to see, well, what would happen if we do stop the program, you know, a little bit at a time. So what is your take on emerging markets now? I mean, China had some disturbing news with their purchasing managers index the other day when it fell below 50. A lot of advisors I've been speaking with are very gung-ho on China these days.
Yeah, and it's definitely the economy is slowing down, so that has a lot of implications for the world economy. So if they are producing, they're such a large partner for countries such as the U.S., Canada, sort of the developed world depends on China, and also the emerging markets depend on China for their consumption. So all the commodities that are exported into China are starting to slow down. That has touched a bit of economies like Australia, Brazil, and sort of Malaysia, Thailand. But sort of the flip side to that is that Christine Lagarde, the head of the IMF, came out with sort of a very interesting theory about the three speeds of recovery. So she's singling out the emerging markets as the fastest in terms of recovery. They have all the infrastructure already in place. They survived crisis 10, 15 years ago, and those crises actually made them better because now their banking system is stronger, their exports and sort of tariffs are in a place where they're conducive to growth, so that's why they're recovering so fast in the current environment. Second speed, more moderate, is the U.S. So the IMF is seeing recovery in the States. It's moderate. It's based on sort of retail sales growth, the employment numbers, housing, sort of all point to if not a strong recovery, at least it's advancing in the right direction. And in the third speed, sort of almost stagnant, not the best place to be, is Japan and Europe. Mm-hmm. So we know the problems in Europe. It's a debt crisis. It's a housing crisis, an employment crisis, and it's also too many governments really trying to pull for their own and not reaching consensus as quickly as the market would like. And Japan, which through bold statements and bold economic policies, trying to join the U.S. in the slow recovery track, but at least it's on the right path.
And where do you see opportunities in currencies right now?
Right now, the yen, it has proven to be very volatile. I mean, it has moved more than 20% this year alone. There's a lot of that trade has also become very crowded. So it was very basically a no-brainer, and now everybody's sort of targeting that. So there's opportunities on both sides to be a contrarian and also to follow the trend. So it's just sort of to keep abreast of the market. Next week is very important for Japan. There's a couple of instances where the governor of the Bank of Japan is going to be making statements, and those statements are going to drive the trend regarding the yen. There's if inflation is going to the target, so next week the inflation numbers come out, so that would also give either a boost or try to slow down the yen, depending on what those figures are.
Okay, so something to look forward to next week, and maybe we'll have some opportunities there.
Oh, definitely.
Great. Well, thank you so much for joining me, Alphonse. It was great talking with you again.
Nice talking to you, Nancy.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.